Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. As always, I'm joined by Millwall fan Andy.
All right, chaps.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, had better days. Had better days.
And of course, stat man Luke. How are you this weekend?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Better than Andy anyway.
In a week where Derby secure safety, Oxford sneak sixth, and Bolton and Cambridge join Cheltenham in League One. Welcome back to the pod. Well, there really is nothing as ridiculous as the Championship. And although I would like to start somewhere else, I think there's only one place we should start, really. And that is the scrap to stay up. And what a bit of drama we had on our hands. And boy, did it live up to it.
Oh, I think I've only just got over it. You know, and it, what we love is a fairy tale ending. You know, a team that's won 1 in 15 staying up. I mean, it's just a lovely, lovely end to the season.
Fairy
what everyone time. Wanted to see, yeah. Wayne Rooney, still Abbey County, have got it over the line. Well done to him.
Yeah, there was a lot between, should you celebrate a draw, well, your first draw in 7 games that keeps you up, or is it too much? Should you feel like solemnly when you stay up at that point?
I think as football fans, Luke, if that was my club, I'd still be celebrating, let alone celebrating for 5 minutes. So there's your answer.
Yeah, you got to get behind it, haven't you? Tim Pot, if you want, but I tell you what, I'd be there as well. And why not? They've had nothing else to celebrate all season, so might as well get behind that.
Yeah, they've had their troubles off the pitch. A couple of times players weren't paid and things. I know Sheffield Wednesday had the same thing, but difficult season for them. And someone's got to stay up, haven't they? And, you know, we don't want to be too harsh on Derby. They have stayed up. Wednesday in Rotherham, we hardly knew you. They're still in the Football League, aren't they? So,
yeah, I think the only player you can really justify, you know, no one can complain if he's celebrating, is Martin Waghorn, because he's made such an impact in that game. I think he only completed like 5 passes. I think that was the stat. But he's managed to score twice, and he's hauled his team out of the relegation zone that they were in twice in that 90 minutes. And he was even quite lucky to stay on the pitch after what looked like a quite awful collision with the post.
Yeah, and what I loved about the post collision is they asked him about it, and all he could be, all that concerned him really was the fact that he'd missed the chance, rather than the fact that he almost completely snapped himself in half by running into the post. But I mean, you say you can't be too harsh on them. 4 points in out of a possible 45 since February. Suggestive. But like you say, someone's got to stay up, and it was them. But yeah, it really all happened, didn't it? I think last week we just wanted drama. I think we got what we wanted out of the Luton Rotherham game in midweek, a draw, which meant it was all to play for going to the last weekend. And then when Rotherham go 1-0 up, and what a goal, by the way. What a goal that first Rotherham goal is from wing again. And just didn't know what was going to happen. And all the twists and turns at Pride Park as well. Derby getting themselves in the relegation zone, out the relegation zone. It was everything you wanted. So I think you can't be too disappointed unless obviously you're a fan of Rotherham or Sheffield Wednesday.
It's fine margins, isn't it? It's fine margins. And Rotherham have been really unlucky with all their finishing, with their running, with the whole COVID situation at the club, that they've gone down. It's quite sad for Paul Warne. And Martin Waghorn pulling it out for his team when it mattered and going and celebrating with the fans. One thing I thought was really odd, you say you kind of enjoyed how he kind of was so annoyed that about that collision with the post. He was so annoyed that he missed. He was on the floor for like 3 or 4 minutes and it looked quite bad. It looked like initially he'd hit his head, but it turned out to be his chest. When there's a really bad collision or a really bad challenge in a match, like a leg break or like a head injury, they don't show. They stay with me. They don't show a replay because it can be like quite distressing. Because I watched the game on Sky Sports. What someone at Sky Sports has done is watched it back 3 minutes later, thought, it's not that bad. And then played it again in slow-mo, him crashing into the post. It's absolutely mental.
Right.
That's what I loved about it.
And there's your analysis of the relegation battle. See you next week.
That is. great goal, Lewis Wing. See you next year, Derby.
I can't hold my laughing any longer. I mean, of all the things we can discuss about the relegation battle, and he talks about a double replay.
What episode are we on now? That's the longest Luke has spoken for in the history of the podcast, and it was that.
It was nonsense.
What was that? Anyway, he got up, didn't he, Luke? And he carried on. And he scores a great header and a penalty to save his club.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But what I liked is 75 minutes on the clock, Sheffield Wednesday were 3-2 up, Rotherham were 1-0 up, and Kiefer Moore and Harry Wilson had been subbed for Cardiff. How have Derby stayed up? Could not believe it. Explain it.
That's the Championship. That's the Championship.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah, your excuse for everything. It's Thomas Frank's excuse for everything when Brentford lose, so it may as well be mine as well.
It's interesting, that one, because Warne is obviously, well, we'll probably come on to his interview later, but during that interview talks about the fact that McCarthy's throwing his defenders forward with 10 minutes to go and bringing on unbelievable players, as he puts it. And then obviously saying that he definitely wanted to score against us. They obviously did. And it just feels so harsh, doesn't it, when you hear him say that. But there's been a lot of talk about integrity over the last few weeks of the football pyramid and where it's at. I don't think after this weekend's games, I don't think you can question the integrity across the EFL. And just I honestly, other than saying it's the Championship, I can't explain how at that point Rotherham have ended up going down. I mean, a lot has gone wrong in the last 5 to 10 minutes of those two fixtures for Rotherham to not still be in the Championship.
I mean, it was, very harsh, but it was 88th minute Marlon Pack scores for Cardiff. And it was such a soft goal to concede. It just summed up Rotherham's season, didn't it? All those chances, couldn't score and end up not winning. There's a great shot on the highlights where you can see Matt Crooks on the edge of the box for Rotherham, just like put his hands on his head as Marlon Pack's about to shoot, because he just knows. It was just written that once they miss all those chances, they just won't win. And I think Paul Warne did feel it after the game, didn't he?
I've enjoyed, being with my coaches and all my staff. I've enjoyed all that. But emotionally, it's...
You okay?
Yeah. It's been tough.
Yeah, he felt it. I do really feel for Paul Warne, because we've been full of praise for him with how he's spoken in press conferences and post-matches. And I didn't realise I thought it was 3, but it turns out it's 5 promotions and relegations in 5 seasons for him. He played over 250 games for the club and had a testimonial. So it clearly means a lot to him. And before he was manager, he was the fitness coach at Rotherham under Steve Evans. So he's been through some difficult times.
Learned from the best, yeah.
But there's actually I found out a story about them when he was the fitness coach under Steve Evans this week, that he used to cycle to work, and Steve Evans saw him walking alongside his bike and still managed to, because he's the fitness coach, still managed to rip the out of him, basically. Like, listen to this. I didn't know this happened.
You know, Paul Warne might need to work on his fitness. You know, I was travelling to work this morning and he was thumbing a lift on the side of the road claiming he had a puncture. And the rumour amongst the staff is there's no puncture. The rumour is he was tired.
This is just ridiculous. Like, you're driving to work. He's the fitness coach.
The rumour is horse. He's tired. Yeah, well, he's definitely tired now anyway. I liked, there was another bit in his interview where the interviewer asked him if he was ready to take on the challenge the next season. And he just said no. And then the interviewer went, "You're not." You're not. Like, he couldn't believe he'd got a no there. He was ready to move it on to like the most boring interview. And he just went, "I've got nothing more to give." Can't really laugh at that. It's just quite sad.
Yeah, I do genuinely feel for him. And without all of the COVID stuff now, I'll first put my hands up and say I was obviously slagging them off at various points in this season for all the COVID situation. But that pile up of fixtures looks like it might have hurt them. I mean, I feel like even he knows still at the end of the season that they have to take a bit of blame. Just there's been about four or five games in their last couple of months that they've just had to put to bed, yesterday being one of them. And we're talking about a team that actually did create chances. They've not kind of been played off the park every week. And I feel like that is where the major problem for them is. And Ladapo scored an important goal a few weeks back against Sheffield Wednesday, and I think their fans thought that maybe that was going to be a bit of a resurgence in form. They just weren't able to do it. And yeah, just on the back of what you were saying about him saying he's not got a lot left to give, it didn't sound like he's going to be there next season on the end of that that interview. So it is going to be interesting to see if he's still there. And like you say, Luke, he's given a hell of a lot to the club and maybe feels like he's kind of taken them as far as he can.
Shall we move on to Sheffield Wednesday now? Got a feel for them as well. Actually, as it turns out, a shootout between them and Derby to stay up. And once you go 3-2 up in a game like that, they've got to really be hurting today. I did see the stat, wasn't it? They've lost 29 points from winning positions this season. I mean, I don't know what other teams, how many, if that's a lot or not, but it sounds like a bloody lot to me.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. They just didn't have a chance to settle across the whole season, did they? With obviously starting on a points deduction and then finding out that it's actually been halved must be a sort of strange feeling, really, because you'd sort of feel happy about it, but then maybe if they'd just picked up a couple more points prior to that, it could have allowed them to build a bit of momentum. And the amount of managers they've had this season, and plus the fact that obviously Moore's suffered quite badly with COVID, kind of helped the camp at various points. So it just feels like as a club, they're not very well settled. But also on the pitch this season, they didn't really get a chance to kind of ever get started. But like you say, at 3-2, just see it out. Just see it out, especially then to come off the pitch and find out it would have been enough. There was a moment actually just to quickly go back to the Warne one where he didn't realise that they'd drawn at Pride Park, and he's told, and he has to take a step back from the interview again where he realises that actually a win would have been enough. It's exactly the same for Wednesday. I mean, they must be hurting. They must be hurting. And obviously being up here, it's been quite interesting. My neighbour, safe to say, he wasn't too impressed with it all yesterday. I step outside at full time and he sat out there with his Wednesday tracksuit on having a cigarette, less than impressed at the situation, just shakes his head, stubs his fag out and goes inside.
Oh dear. Yeah, you've painted a real picture of, I'm sure that every Wednesday fan looked like that. Come 3 o'clock or whatever time it was, alone, sad,
smoking
cigarette. And back inside to sit in silence.
It was a weird situation as well because it kicked off slightly late. And then obviously at half time, there was that weird situation where, I don't know, Wednesday didn't come out of the tunnel for ages. People were obviously trying to weigh up whether it was deliberate so they could find out, you know, what was going on in the Rotherham game or whether there was actually more to it than that, whether Moore was giving one last kind of rousing team talk or something. I don't know. But just the twists and turns. And obviously there was a couple of controversial goals for Wednesday as well. I think one of them was actually onside and one of them looked like it was off. But to get to 3-2, just don't do anything silly. And then you concede a penalty. And it, obviously the season's about the 46 games. But when it comes down to a shootout like that, don't be giving away a penalty.
Yeah, you can put it down to that after all that time and the fact that you keep that lead, Rotherham draw, and you stay up. But across the whole season, they've always been in transition. They've always been between managers, between controversy with Chancery, and they haven't had time to settle. There's always been something in the back of, well, whichever manager's mind. It's going to be sad that Darren Moore's taken that job. And he's got a relegation on his CV now because he's clearly too good of a manager for that. But if you compare two teams in Sheffield Wednesday and Derby with the problems they've had off the pitch with ownership and financial problems, and then you compare it with a team like QPR, and you think those are three teams, realistically, they're pretty big clubs. They should be mid-table but pushing for a playoff spot. But the difference between say, QPR since the turn of the year, and those two has been huge, just because off the field, QPR have been balancing the books. They've not been rash in the transfer market. They've stuck by Mark Warburton the whole time. They've bought in the right players on loan, and just getting it right higher up the club just makes everything make sense.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I didn't think QPR would be getting a mention this week, but here we are. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, like you said about getting the transfers right, that Sheffield Wednesday team is weak as well. You can say anything about off the pitch. Defensively, they've been poor. And I mean, they just seem to be reliant on Barry Bannon and then wonder goals from Adam Reach.
Well, it really was right too tune. Far.
Started that and then couldn't get the tune right. I mean, starting with Jordan Rhodes up front in a game like that, who just did not get involved at all. He was really disappointing. Comparing him with Kazim Richards and players that Derby had that can make a difference, like Waghorn and Patrick Roberts. They're a team of individuals, Derby, but on a day like that, they can pop up with a few goals, not relying on a few scrappy ones like Wednesday did.
Yeah. I mean, just on the off the field stuff, it's not a great look, is it, for the Championship that 2 years running, a team is relegated due to a points deduction. There really needs to be some better checks on ownerships at this point. The fit and proper thing clearly isn't working. And it's also just not great for the kind of, for the sport that teams are being relegated for off the field stuff. It's not, you know, those 6 points would have clearly made the difference for Wednesday. Now, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. Their team is not good enough, and they haven't been good enough. They've not exactly dug themselves out of trouble. But it really isn't a good look that 2 years running, points deductions have kind of decided a relegation spot. And obviously on that, there's rumours already that Derby might be starting the season with a kind of points deduction next season. Something's got to change. It can't continue to happen. You can't have clubs, because, I mean, let's say Derby don't get a points deduction next season, and then what? They spend big again and they manage to get in the top six. It just fits. Something doesn't feel right. I'm not sure it can carry on where owners can be allowed to kind of destroy football clubs, and yet the people on the pitch and the fans who are paying their money to watch it are the ones who have to suffer. So sorry to end this section like that, but
well said.
Just a bugbear.
Yeah, well said.
Who do you want to watch? Millwall. I'm watching Millwall.
Well, I think there's a few fans feeling like that this weekend. Andy, any comments? No, I didn't think so. So, yeah, nice way for Coventry to round off at their season. Obviously secured safety a couple of weeks back, but 6 goals, 6 scorers, rounded off a nice first season back in the Championship for us, and summed up what a good job little Squeaky Robins has done this season, I think.
Should be manager of England after that one, I tell you.
Robins, little Robins, the man that thinks he should be the manager of England.
You laugh, give him time. Give him time. We could sit here and laugh about the game, but there's not much point. Didn't really mean a lot, did it? I think, Luke, there is something that you did manage to find that was quite funny.
Yeah, what a week. We've been full of praise for Bartosz Bielikowski before. We've called him, you know...
Pronunciation.
Thank you.
Carry on.
We've been full of praise for Bartosz Bielikowski before, saying he's been goalkeeper of the season and all that. What I found funny is in the week that he insults the entire Bristol City side, he concedes 6 in his following game. So after the Bristol City game last week, Bart said, last game, Bristol were gone. They looked like they were on their holidays already. They didn't care. I'm sorry, I think that they were the worst team we've played this season. And he's got a good point, because they've got 2 points in their last 9 games. They're the only teams more out of form than Derby and Rotherham. Now, Nigel Pearson actually responded to that by saying, it's like the school... Yeah, he's always got a word to say. It's like the school bully giving you a Chinese burn. Don't think you can say that anymore, Nigel. We have to take it on the chin. Is he taking the burn on the chin? Is he also getting a punch? What's going on? And then he's put, our comeback has to be in how we perform next week. And they've lost. So all in all, Nigel Pearson has no idea what he's talking about. But we're 46 games in, sure. And we know that already.
Yeah, I'm not sure we needed that quote, but to prove anything, why actually say anything and then why say that? I mean, that is just odd, isn't it? Anyway, they lost again. So
yeah, it's good that Millwall are being called, you know, the bullies of the league as well. That's suggesting like we're one of the better teams. So cheers, Nigel. Yeah, Bart's embarrassed himself this week, hasn't he? I mean, obviously not his fault. We conceded 6 goals, but Russ Taylor, who was doing the game for Soccer Saturday, I've never even heard this phrase. He said he thought both teams would have a Magaluf mentality, didn't want to get injured for the beach.
Yeah.
and then he said, oh, no, they haven't. I mean, it turned out one team did, by the look of it, and it wasn't the ones in sky blue.
Although there was also some irony in that as well, because he said they didn't want to get injured, and within about 5 minutes of him saying it, both Dabo and Hamer went off injured. So whether that was just getting themselves ready for their holidays, or they were actually injured and the Magaluf mentality was gone. But yeah, I also thought that was very strange from him, and summed up probably May 17th. It kicks in with the Magaluf mentality.
The proof is in the pudding, and the pudding in this case is a football.
Well, down into League One, and the proof really is in the pudding. Obviously, a bit of last day drama, trying to fight for that last spot in the playoffs. Oxford, Portsmouth and Charlton, all with a chance of sneaking sixth. Portsmouth had it in their hands to do, and they've absolutely blown it against Accrington Stanley. Oxford come away 4-0 winners against normally a fairly resilient Burton side, and that's left them in sixth, and a great end to the season for Carl Robinson and Oxford.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that this team were 19th in mid-December. Like 19th, and only not in the relegation zone on goal difference. So the turnaround he's made is huge, and it's odd that he's not going to be on the touchline for those final remaining games.
Yeah, so if you've missed this news, Carl Robinson's been handed a ban from the incident at Sunderland months ago, which just seems very, very harsh to dish it out now. So he's going to miss the 2 playoff games. And he missed this one. It didn't seem to affect the team too badly. So maybe they'll carry that on. But yeah, Oxford have pipped Portsmouth to the post. Charlton just missing out. I mean, Portsmouth 2 points off the top 6 when Kenny Jackett was sacked, and they've ended 2 points off the top 6. Good progress under the Cowleys there. Some say Jackett shouldn't have been sacked and he would have turned it round.
Playoff
pedigree.
Kenny Jackett, number one fan.
Taking a risk and it's not paid off.
Yeah, it's a weird one that, and the fact that with that loss, obviously their season ends at this point. And so does the Cowleys. I mean, that is the end officially of their contract at Portsmouth. You'd assume they're going to extend it. But I mean, the reasoning for bringing them in was to get it over the line, surely. And the fact they haven't been able to do that and finish, well, as you say, in the exact same position as where they took over, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird to see if they do go with them. There's not many other options out there at the moment. I know Kenny Jackett's obviously free, so maybe
he'll get a bigger club than that.
But I just just to chuck it on the last day as well. I mean, you can imagine how happy Coleman was ruining the party there for Accrington Stanley. And in fact, on Accrington Stanley, a great season for them. And I think without a few injuries and fixture pile-ups, they might have been in with a shout for the top 6. But yeah, Portsmouth fans must be feeling pretty gutted to chuck it on the last day. And big achievement, as you say, for Oxford after the start of their season to get back up there again after last year. I mean, they would have been hurting from not managing to get promotion last season. And maybe that will be the experience they needed to kind of get them over the line this season. But it's going to be a great playoffs, I think, with a few teams on form.
Yeah, I don't think you can really look past Oxford now. I think they're going to be my favourites to win it. I mean, going to have to bring it back to Millwall again, but drawing parallels for last time we were promoted, lost in the playoff final. Next season, scraped into sixth on the final day, and then we went on to win. Exactly the same things happened to Oxford. They're the team with momentum now. Putting 4 in today as well is really going to give them a lot of momentum going into it. And I think, yeah, like you said, the playoffs look really exciting. Blackpool, Lincoln, Oxford, Sunderland, going to be tough to call. You know, I just said Oxford.
Yeah. Ridiculously brave call from you there, actually. I wasn't expecting it. Although, weirdly, I think I sort of agree. So sometimes that's enough to fuel a team and also maybe a little bit of know-how from last season. But yeah, what a playoffs we've got on our hands. And I'm actually quite excited to see who comes up, because any of those, except Sunderland, I'll be quite pleased to see back in the Championship, and also a couple of good potential away days there.
Yeah, Oxford are the in-form side, and they always talk about momentum going into the playoffs. They've won six of their last seven. And on the other hand, Pompey just missing out. I saw a tweet, it was like a month ago, I might have mentioned it on the pod, that said, oh, I can't wait for the League One playoff final between Pompey and Sunderland in 2045. And maybe that's maybe that's it. It's just going to be rinse and repeat for Pompey, whether they've got jacket or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure Sunderland fans will appreciate that. That tweet. Luke.
Well, you said Oxford are going up.
I mean, it's funny, Sunderland, obviously, recent Wembley trips have not always been such happy days out for them. So be interesting to see how they get on. You talk about the form side being Oxford, but Blackpool are putting some great performances over the last, few months, if we're being honest. So, all eyes on the playoffs now, and it could be a great little mini tournament that we've got on our hands.
Ooh, well, that's what the playoffs are, so let's hope so. Just quick one on Accrington Stanley. That's their highest finish since 1968. Okay.
maybe he's fallen back in love with the game, old John Coleman.
Exactly. Good on him.
Pretty physically sick, to be honest. I'm rapidly falling out of love with football. I just wonder what's the point anymore, you know.
I do love those stats, though, because it's like, on the face of it, you go, oh, wow, that's brilliant. But ultimately, you finish 11th in League One. It doesn't really mean a great deal. It's just, well done.
Progress. Progress.
Yeah, progress. Progress. Yeah, talking of progress, just to quickly go back up to the Championship, I don't know if any of you saw saw our good friend Nathan Jones's team talk to the players after the game, and basically congratulating them all, and then says, yeah, you've done well, but not too well. Don't get ahead of yourselves. It's all about progress. And every time he said well done, he then quickly went back to, yeah, but not too good. You've done well, but not too well. Just all the players, you could just see that. Christ, can we get in the plane yet?
Yeah. So top half in the Championship, Luton Town. You can't give them too much praise.
Yeah. There were a couple of funnies this weekend, weren't there? A couple of football funnies. And one of them I know, Luke, you really appreciated. Coppinger at Doncaster, coming to an end of an absolutely fantastic career there. What a servant for the club. But it's not that you wanted to focus on, is it?
No. Every EFL fan is a fan of James Coppinger. But 681 appearances, 77 goals, 112 assists, or, you know, list off all the stats you like. What's the opposite of going out on a high? You're 4-0 down.
Going out on a low.
There we go. Back to you in the studio. You're 4-0 down to, let's face it, Peterborough's B team. Clearly the first team all down the pub. He gets subbed off after 80 minutes and then they score a goal in added time. So not the way you want to go out in your career, but you've got 680 other appearances to be very proud of.
Yeah, what a fitting tribute to a great EFL player. Peterborough battered him 4-1, and that's all we'll remember him for now, because whatever happened last will always happen. That's how it works.
You're only as good as your last game.
It felt a little harsh as well, having to do the guard of honour and playing that last game in front of, well, no fans. But I did see a nice video of him leaving the stadium, and there was, well, a good couple of hundred fans there with flares singing his name. So that was nice. But yeah, nevertheless, battered.
I've worked hard, so I'm going to play hard, baby.
Well, there was certainly a season of working hard, and I would like to think there's going to be a lot of playing hard for some of those League Two teams that have secured promotion. Cheltenham joined officially now by Bolton and Cambridge, who did it on the last day against opposition that, let's face it, didn't put up too much fight. And we've got our three promoted teams.
Yeah, for the neutral, it was a little bit disappointing, wasn't it? We had the highs of the excitement of the Championship relegation earlier on in the day. Looking forward to it in League Two as well. And Bolton absolutely hammering Crawley, and Crawley going down to 10 men as well. I mean, that one was over straight away. And Cambridge were at home to Grimsby, so didn't really matter that. It was funny, Cambridge, I think we mentioned it before, they've had a couple of weeks now where they've had the promotion banners and everything at the ground ready to go, taking it to away games with them, and they just kept losing. And now they finally done it. And what better way than seeing Wesley Houlihan and Paul Mullin get a goal?
Yeah, a big goal for Mullin as well, wasn't it? To get him over the line. And something that also entertained me was watching Wes Houlihan down a pint of Guinness at full time, which was just brilliant as well. Because no one really downs Guinness, do they? Sorry, no one other than Wesley Houlihan and Andy Hayden really down Guinness, do they?
That's how the saying goes.
But yeah, just again, what a season for Paul Mullin. And Houlihan's definitely played his part, a massive signing for them in the end. And like you say, although it has been funny chuckling at their lack of wins to get over the line, I don't think they were ever really going to struggle against Grimsby. And then seeing them bounce up and down on top of the roof was also something that I enjoyed as well. You don't really see that, but obviously the stadium's small enough that meant they could do it. So yeah, good scenes at full time.
Well, with Cheltenham and Cambridge, it's kind of been more a matter of time because they've been so consistent over the season. Nice to see the whole Cheltenham squad get into the box and Ben Tozer go over to the sideline with the trophy for the League Two and just pretend to launch it in like one of his throw-ins. Cambridge, some really good individual players in that side. Mullin, you talk about, you've got Jack Iredale and Joe Ironside as well. But Bolton, it's been a huge comeback since, and I think, James, you told me this stat. They were 19th at the start of February. We talk about Oxford and them coming back to make playoffs. They were 19th in mid-December. 19th at the start of February. What a turnaround from Ian Evatt and his lads.
I was going to say, Evatt, the way he likes his teams to play, maybe it does take a little bit of time to settle in. And God, it did settle in the end. And I know, James, you said you might fancy him to go up again.
Yeah, I think there was a slight formation change after the first half of the season from Evatt. He also brought in Jilks in goal to shore it up a little bit after saying a few unsavoury words about the youngster in goal he had before. But yeah, they shored it up at the back and built from there. And again, some good individuals. But yeah, what a season for them. And to be honest, it's good to see them having some success after their last few years. But yeah, I reckon, I've actually got a feeling that they might be up there again next season. Seems like they've got an owner now who's going to back them again. He's got a way of playing. I don't see many of their squad leaving. Well, unless Evatt obviously doesn't want any of them. That's probably the only way they're going to be leaving this season. It'll be interesting to see if Doyle can do it again in a division above. But I do think they've got a real chance of building on it. I've seen it before where teams can build on that kind of promotion from League Two and try and build a promotion push again in a season or two later. I do think Bolton have got a chance, particularly with the with the backing of the new owners. So yeah, great season for them. And like I say, nice to see Bolton have some success. It was just funny, I know I mentioned before about the fact that Cambridge and Bolton's oppositions didn't do a great deal to put up much of a fight, which unfortunately for Morecambe, despite them getting the win, meant they weren't able to break into the top three. But again, another exciting playoff battle that's going to be happening over the next few weeks. In fact, all three divisions this season have got some real sides up there. A mix of teams that have been there for most of the season and teams that have had a late push. So it is going to be great to see what happens in the League Two playoffs as well.
Yeah, talking about the playoffs, really disappointing for everyone's favourite Salford City, who have missed out. It was a real shame. There was a bit of controversy before the game. I mean, it rains in Salford, it rains in Manchester all the time. They should be prepared. But apparently, because of the rain, they had to delay the game by, was it an hour? I mean, when they knew what they needed to do, basically. So they had to play the last 45 minutes of the game knowing that they couldn't get into the playoffs.
Oh, it's perfection.
It must have been bloody awful for them after thinking they'd nailed it with that delay.
Funny how they knew the rain was going to stop an hour later. Some seriously good weathermen up there in Salford, haven't they? So BBC Studios.
It really didn't look that bad. It really didn't look wet at all. It's so suspect, but oh, they've got what's coming to them.
And that's why it's even funnier that they had... What was the halftime team talk? Boys, we have to go and play now. So enjoy yourselves.
Luke's quiz. Edit that in.
Right, end of season quiz. So we're going to celebrate. We're going to branch it out. There's going to be lots and lots of answers this week. Now, all I'm looking for is EFL players. But whoever starts on A, and whoever goes second has to go with B. Now, you're allowed two skips. I've looked through this. You're allowed to skip two letters.
If I make up a name, you're going to go, well, he's not on my list of 1,000 people.
How are you going to check that? How are you going to check this?
I've written down about three players for each letter. So
I'll
I'm
have
just
Kevin
hoping...
Smith.
Yeah, he's on the bench for Stevenage.
We could be here all week.
There's a player in the EFL for every letter of the alphabet, at least one. But you're allowed two skips because it's going to get difficult.
And are we talking first names here?
We're talking surnames.
No, I'm just trying to see where who gets
someone gets X.
It's like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Oh, I don't know.
Someone gets
Andy,
X,
you can choose.
Q.
Okay, I'll go first with A. This could be a while, couldn't it? I'll go for Adam Armstrong, a double A to start off.
Lovely.
Okay. 2 points.
I'll follow up with another 2 points and go Barry Bannon.
Lovely. A bit disappointed you didn't go for Dad Bod, but okay. Or a Bennett. Got seven of them.
Jeez. I want to go for a double C here again, but Carlton Cole doesn't play anyone. Jesus Christ. Pass.
You're not passing on C.
No, no. Elias Chair.
Wonderful.
I'll go for Fankati Dabo.
George Edmondson. Who did he play for? On loan from Rangers. He was playing for Derby, wasn't he?
Because I know his long throws, so from that game on Saturday.
Okay, I'll try and go for more obvious ones. Who does he didn't even know he played for?
I am actually struggling, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, there must be some sort of timer situation.
Go on then, put me under pressure.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Dale Fry.
Oh, wonder. Oh, right out the bag.
He waited till 1.
he had that
genuinely. I genuinely got it as you were saying too. I was thinking Warnock for Middlesbrough, and then obviously Warnock did that thing about him, didn't he, about loving him, so that'll do.
George Grant.
H is tough, actually. Kadeem Harris.
Ikpeazu.
I've got Jody Jones, but does he have to have played this season?
Oh, I'm having Jody Jones. Lovely guy.
Okay. Might need to be put under pressure here.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Do you want it? Punish me. 10. 9.
Got one. Tom King. You poor goalie.
I'll go a man I mentioned earlier on in the podcast, Freddie Ladapo.
Scott Malone.
You were spoilt for choice with the M's, I think.
So that means you need to give two, all right? I'll have Adam Nash.
Oh, that is niche.
Callum O'Hare.
Ah.
I suppose this must be a load of O somethings, isn't there?
He's P. No, oh, I'll have...
Oh, no. What's next?
Yeah, it took me ages to get all the way through. That's why I was like... surprised it was P. I was actually doing my alphabets.
So. Yeah, but what's after P?
He's nervous.
Oh, I've got one, I think.
I'll let you choose which Patterson, Cardiff or Bristol City, but I'll have Patterson.
Quinn. Stephen Quinn.
Yeah, Burton Albion.
Yeah. Niall.
Still place, still place.
What letter are we asking?
James is on R.
Oh, God, I can't remember his first name. Do I need his first name? Can I just say Roberts?
Oh, yeah, that's... Oh, no, you got to have that. You might as well say what I'm going to say next time. Smith.
I'll have Patrick Roberts. Jesus Christ, that took too long.
Oh, I didn't, was that the one you were thinking of? Matt Smith.
Of course he has.
That's a two-pointer.
What? On what planet?
It's funny.
Think of
you're on T.
T. Oh, I f***ed it with mine, haven't I?
Okay. I will have Fabio Tavares.
With the T's that I've got written down, that is hilarious. That is a two-pointer.
There must be loads of T's.
Yeah, the T's I've got written down are so glaringly obvious. That's brilliant.
If I get X as well, you
haven't got X, Sander.
No, I haven't. No.
I've got X. Might have to skip that.
I've got you. Babe.
Under my skin. I'll be honest, Andy, I could only find three. And I didn't know one of them.
You didn't know any of them? You didn't know
I didn't. I didn't know one of them, and the other ones are tough.
So what's the deal with passing, then?
Well, you've got two passes.
Pass.
Isaac Vassell.
I'll go for a good one. He's played his last game for Millwall, great servant for the club. Sean Williams.
X. X.
How many are there?
Do you want to know how many there are?
Zero.
That's what I just asked.
Okay, there is one player, one registered EFL player that begins with X.
No. Had you heard of him?
No, he's from Kosovo. He's a centre-back.
I've got a chance to say. Paul Zullin.
So technically he didn't pass there, so
I guess I'll have to. I mean, ultimately, if Andy can get through the whole next round with no passes, I lose at X. Again.
Swap over. You've got
to pass,
one,
yeah.
Yeah, one pass left. One pass left. Andy, we're on to Y.
Andre Yadam. How do you say his name?
Yadam. I can't remember.
Is he QPR now, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he played for Barnet. Hopefully not anymore. I've had the green. I've had the ding.
Yeah, stop talking. I'm right. That leaves me with Zed then. Lovely old job. I'll go for Zanzala.
He was Carlisle boy. So now James starts on A then.
Max Aarons.
The double be Ben Brereton.
Oh, he loves it.
Double. Always try and go for the double.
Give me an hour. Let me think of another.
Carlton Cole.
Yes, literally. All that you can get go for your head is Carlton bloody Cole. Stiffer Columbus.
Lynn Cooper.
With an attempt at making Andy smile, we'll have Tony Craig.
And if you accidentally say one that the other person said, you're out. if I said Dabo now, I'd be wrong.
You just did.
He said it. We heard it. He said it. He said it.
Say first name. Didn't say first name.
Could have been Steve Dabo.
Well, there you go. There's an answer.
Steve Dabo.
There it is.
Kiernan Dewsbury Hall.
Ooh. I'm going to risk one here and hope that he's actually still playing. Neil Eardley.
Jesus, this we might have to do a cut and come back later. Oh, he's at Barrow on loan from Burton Albion. We're safe. Oh, yes. We're safe.
As if he's still contracted at Burton.
What was your answer for F?
Can't tell you.
What?
Well, you made the rule that if you say it, you're out. So, well, you're not going to say it if I ask.
It was Dale Fry, wasn't it? Yeah. Shane Ferguson.
Victor Gyökeres.
Sign him up, Robbins.
Wesley Houlihan.
Charlton player. Ryan Innes.
You said Jody Jones, so I'll say Jordan Jones.
I'll go for Elias Kachunga.
Yeah, lovely old job.
Jamal Lowe.
What a treat. A man's name that I've been wanting to say this week. Actually bagged a goal at both ends this weekend. Doing what he does best. Putting the ball in his own net. Kyle McFadzean.
I can tick that one off before you finish his name.
Tom Naylor. These are coming out of nowhere. That's from the Portsmouth Football Manager save, that one.
I don't know this guy's first name, but I really want to say it. Odabadjo. Because
there's so many easier O's. You can think of anyone either.
Exactly, that's why it's funny. I know who I'll have instead, because I mucked the name up earlier on in the season. I'll go for Connor Ogilvy.
Oh yeah, he scored that wonder goal.
Wonder volley.
P. Easy, should be easy. This one, surely. The hell? I'm struggling.
10. 9. 8. 7.
Do you have to get the first name? So
6.
He's the Phillips.
5.
Cardiff keeper.
4.
4.
Oh, what?
3. Google it or something. 2. He's got his phone up. I'm joking. I was joking. It would have just been brilliant if he just sat there with his phone. Oh, his name is Carl Phillips. Just say Phillips, Cardiff keeper. No one will question
that. No, that's not good enough.
One.
Alex Pritchard. Who's he play for?
Huddersfield, yeah. Where's that come out from?
I don't know. He should not be that hard, should it? It's torture.
I've got Q. Yeah. And the amount of time you've taken to get P, it's meant that I've managed to think of a Q relatively quickly. I'll go for Barrows, Scott Quigley.
Well, I'm still shook up from the last one. What are we on? Danny Rowe.
Kieran Sadlier.
Mark Travers.
He scored for the Bournemouth reserve team. Oh, yeah, this is the reserve EFL.
Yes, but he played a few games. Have I got his name wrong?
No, you've got it right. Jesus, yeah. All the T's.
It's because he scored the other day for the youth team.
Yeah.
In the last minute, the goalkeeper.
That header.
I've got you, haven't I?
Babe.
When I was making this list, I could think of one U, and it's because James said him on a podcast.
And I think it's the person I've just thought of. Another ex-Millwall player. He's never down, is he? Never upset.
For God's sake.
His head up, son.
Yeah, keep your head up, son. Yeah, well played, James. Well played.
V. What's his first name? Vrančić, Norwich. Just have that.
Mario.
Marrier.
A player that's been on the lips of many an EFL fan this season, Max Waters.
And that's the end of the quiz. That's it. There's only one X, isn't there?
Yeah, but we didn't, it was skipped, so have you got an X? You've got one more skip. You're still in it. You're still in it.
Oh, wait, what? Surely you only allowed one skip. Otherwise, we're going to go on all night.
No, we had two. Yeah, well, we had two skips.
Well, James will lose because he'll have to skip X next time. Skip.
Well, I mean, that's it then. Because we're just going to get to X again and you've won.
Well, unless we don't make it. Did you see me struggle on P?
Am I Y now then? Jerry Yates.
Good answer.
I can't believe you haven't got the one that I'm thinking of for you.
It's the only one I've written down.
It's an obvious one, is there? Oh, no. That makes
you
it better.
Especially, yeah. Yeah, this is bad.
Z.
Eight.
You can't currently play for Millwall, surely.
Seven.
He's got 6 seconds to think of it.
Six.
Oh. Five. I've got it. Kenzahor.
I think I might just concede the quiz here.
Right, you calling it since you've got the X this time, James?
I'll call it before we start. Andy can have the last laugh on this one.
I was surprised that we were so bad at P and T because you got Troy Parrott, Andy. Your favourite, Troy Parrott. And then how have we managed to forget Ivan Toney and Scott Twine for T? The ones we've come up with instead were genius, though. The only X is Jim Ashley, a Kosovo and centre-back for Sunderland. So good luck with that one.
Well, Sunderland fans would have been screaming that at their device.
It's got to be Jim Ashley.
Shit! Did you see that? He must have a foot like a traction engine.
Well, it must be time for our final goal of the week of the normal season. We may have some from our playoffs. So what have we brought along? Luke, do you want to go first?
I thought it would be suitable for this podcast, since our goal of the week doesn't necessarily have to be a good goal. It can be ridiculous, it can be absolutely dreadful, and I'm going to bring one from game of the weekend, Coventry Millwall. I don't know if anyone else
from
5-1, and even Heskey scored. 6-1, and even Tyler Walker's Gentleman's Vegetables scored. How's that for a chant?
I've never heard it called that before as well. So.
Ball, is it a corner? It is a corner,
yep.
Isn't it? Comes in.
It is a corner, yeah.
Straight off his, well, whatever you want to call it, his man sausage.
Gonads.
Gonads. Into the back of the net. He turns round and he realises, oh, Jesus, that has hurt. And he kind of cups it. He just cups his whole region, shall we say. I've never seen a goal scored with the penis before, but here we are. That's a high risk, high reward we would have loved to have seen.
Hopefully that doesn't become his normal celebration for next season.
I've never seen a goal scored by the penis before, but I've seen a goal of the week nomination given by a penis.
And on that note, Andy, what's yours?
What is mine? Oh, yeah. James Garner for Forest in obviously a nothing game against Preston, went on to lose the game. The ball just comes to him on the edge and he just absolutely powers one in the top corner. Dipped, swerved, looked great. Funnier that it was in a nothing game as well. What more can you say?
Well, the only problem I have with that is you said on the edge. It was miles away from the edge of the area. It's like a 35-yarder. Absolutely thundered into the top corner, but was it scored with the penis?
Just watch it back and make sure.
Doing some hit from there.
Clubbed it in. Well, I guess I'll bring mine as the final nomination. A goal from today, actually, and a goal that I won't say it meant that Oxford sealed sixth place, but it was part of their all-important playoff push win today a volley from an absolute rocket. It's Sam Winnell, miles out the area again, on the volley, lobs the keeper, top corner. What a day to get it on.
Yeah, loved that goal. Off the bench to score. A few injuries Oxford picked up, so he might need to do that actually in the playoffs for them. And I can't vote for a goal scored against Millwall in that manner as well. I feel bad for James after he basically lost that quiz by default. So I'll vote for Sam Winnell.
Luke, can I tempt you away from penis? Oh, hang on a minute.
Are we still doing a podcast? I didn't think there was going to be a volley better than Lewis Wing's this weekend, where Lewis Wing was just watching it all the way down and just thumps it into the bottom corner. But I'll give it to you, James. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to Oxford. What a hit. What a day for them. And they're in the playoffs. So well done, James.
Well done, Sam.
Oxford. Yeah.
Well, I think we'll leave the world-famous high-risk, high-reward behind this weekend as it is the end of the season proper. So I guess all that really leaves me to do is say thank you very much, boys, and I'll see you ahead of the playoffs.
See you next Monday. Yes, come on.
Thanks, Andy. In a week where Derby secure safety, Oxford sneak sixth, and Bolton and Cambridge join Chaitnell. Oh my God.
Chaitnell.
You blew. Whoa. Up the Chaitnell.
Good side. Good side.
Good half an hour, 25 minutes, I reckon.
Can't have been, can it?
Well, once it's edited, start. it could well be 20
about
minutes.
Four.
Well, we've only got... cut out them.
Luke did a few 10-minute speeches, yeah.
who woke you up this week? Jesus. The QPR bit was good. Not so good about the replay bit, but...
Yeah, I just found that funny.
Not sure Sunderland fans will appreciate that tweet slip.
Well, you said Oxford are going up.
But Sunderland may get up before 2045. Lee Johnson still in charge, hopefully, as well. Might have grown a couple of inches, but I've got to get rid of that. I didn't know where I was going there.
Oh, dear. Who's your goal of the week?
Mine is Sam Winnell for Oxford, or possibly Tyler Walker with his knob.
Yeah, I was going to get it. That is this podcast, isn't it? Scores with his knob.
And it's his actual knob as well. If you see goal cam,
it's not a fake.
He's actually his knob.
Actual knob.
It's not like, it's not thigh, not knee, ball. Knob.
Knobbed it.
It's bell-ended it.
Do you see my goal on the weekend? I knobbed it in.
I'll give it a good old-fashioned jebbing.
I knobbed one in. You owe me 20 quid.
Now, that would have been a good high-risk, high-reward, wouldn't it?